Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the latest edition of the Monday Morning Quarterback Podcast. I am Matt Verderam, joined by Gilberto Manzano, as always. I know we haven't been around lately. There's been a lot of moving parts, but we're back. And so is the NFL. With the NFL schedule coming out on Wednesday night. We're recording this here on a Thursday afternoon, so we have the full 272-game slate. A lot to chew on. Team by team, prime time, all that stuff. But first things first, Gil, what's going on? How you doing, man?
Yeah, good seeing you, Matt. It was a little, I guess, rocky couple months, but we got back to work again on that schedule. And I got to say, man, I don't know what you did, but you're a machine when typing out those schedules, because I'm a little behind with those.
Well, first of all, look, you did God's work. We'll leave it at that. But I was facing an incredible time crunch because my daughter, who's in kindergarten, had her little musical concert. It was being held at the high school, which thank God is literally across the street. And it was at 6 Central. And so I didn't have the luxury of being done at 7 Central. I had to be done at like 5:55. And I finished it and legitimately just in basketball shorts and a t-shirt, I just threw on sandals and ran across a 4-lane road. It looked like Frogger, I'm sure, and ran into the auditorium. And I walked in, and the second I walked in, they started singing their first note. So it was perfect timing.
Man, hey, all that pickleball, you know, paid off in that moment of endurance.
Yeah, 20 pounds ago, it's not happening. I was moving. I was moving big time. Yeah, but no, man, and you did great work, and we were able to get it done. And I told John, our editor, John Plum, I told him, like, look, man, it's probably about 100 typos. So keep an eye out. And I don't, to my knowledge, there weren't any that he mentioned. And I know John would have mentioned them. So I don't know. I had a little help there for sure. But we got it done, which you can go to SI.com for all, you know, we have my AFC predictions, Gilberto's NFC predictions. We have Connor Orr dropping his most challenging schedules, games to look for. Albert will have, you know, wall-to-wall coverage as he always does with insider notes in terms of what, you know, what teams inside the league are thinking about the schedule. Look, let's start here because I found this interesting. So now even Wednesdays aren't sacred with the NFL because Christmas is on a Wednesday and we're still getting a Netflix doubleheader. So we have Wednesday doubleheader on Netflix. We also have games that are on Peacock, as we know. We have Amazon games. We have NBC, ESPN, CBS, and Fox. I'm sure if like Animal Planet was able to put together a package, the NFL would be willing to put games on like Tuesday at 3 a.m. Are we getting to a point with the NFL where it's too much? Do you think we're to a juncture where it's I don't want to say jumping the shark, so to speak, but a little bit of a saturation point.
You know, I'll go off of what Connor, you know, wrote about, you know, SI.com, and like, it's going to test them. That's the thing. Like, we're getting to that point, like, you're asking me the question, right? We're thinking about, okay, is it a little too much now? Like, football on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I think you brought it up, man. I think the Chiefs play pretty much on every day of the week.
Every day but Tuesday. They play all Tuesday. 6 days. Yeah.
So that's wild. And yeah, I think a lot of people like to watch Mahomes and Kelce, but there's a lot of people in the country, they don't like them because they win too much and the whole Taylor Swift aspect. So
sure,
maybe that could be a little too much in that terms, but you know, they are pushing it. I do want to see how people react to it, but part of me wants to say it won't be too much. Obviously, football is king here in the United States. They're trying to go global now with Brazil, Germany, England. They had games in you know, in Mexico, I'm sure in Canada too. So they're trying to expand there. And then, you know, I kind of like it the old way, like, you know, let, you know, the high school kids get the Friday night lights, get the college kids on Saturday.
Same.
You know, but I get it. You know, it's a business, you want to make money. And that's where we're kind of, that's the fine line, right? Like, is it too much of a business? Do you care about the players? Do you care about the product? And we've discussed it many times, Matt. Like, you know, you get to the Sunday slate, it's like, oh, okay, what do we got here? Because you're trying to pack everything on a Monday, you're trying to pack everything on a Saturday. Now we're doing these Black Friday games. Those Black Friday games, if I remember correctly, were pretty bad. I remember the Jets and the Dolphins. We're going to do it again.
Oh, that game was awful.
It was pretty bad.
Yeah.
And then selfishly, like, I don't want to be working on Christmas Day, but we're going to be doing it now as a tradition. And on a Wednesday, too, we were talking about, okay, well, it won't happen this year on a Wednesday, really? So it did happen. Netflix, and good thing, Matt, that I cut the cord a long time ago. I haven't had DirecTV or whatever because I figured out streaming is going to be the way. But now you got to spend money for Peacock, Netflix, Prime Video. And that could be something that annoys people too. Like, why are we buying NFL Red Zone or Sunday Ticket now when you have all these products and different streaming providers?
That's the thing that's where I think this is going. Like, fans are going to watch the games, okay? And like, look, I'm not going to be the guy who's like, I can't believe I have to get Netflix now. Like, I already have Netflix, okay? Like, it's now there are people who legitimately, like, it's a struggle, and I feel for them, and that is a real situation. That said, most people have Netflix. Most people have these streaming services. And so I'm not going to be the guy who goes nuts about that, although for some it is a reasonable concern. My thing is, like, if I'm CBS or Fox, I'm pissed. Because I'm sitting here going, look, I'm paying you more than anybody because I'm hosting the bulk of these games. And my Sunday slate kind of sucks. Like, we have, so I pulled up week 3 just at random, but the reason I shouldn't say it, total random, partially random. The reason I did it is, if you look at the Monday Night Football schedule this year, 4 weeks have a doubleheader, and then it's going to be a fifth week, the last week of the year, but that's not announced yet. So, like, excluding week 18, 4 weeks have doubleheader Monday Night Football games. Week 3, week 4, week 7, week 15. And week 15, by the way, has Falcons Raiders in a game that might set the sport back 100 years. But like, you look at week 3, so you've got a doubleheader on Monday, and you also have the Thursday night game, and of course you have the Sunday night game. So the Thursday night game is Pats at Jets. Okay, fine. Sunday night game is Kansas City at Atlanta, and then the Monday night doubleheader is Jacksonville at Buffalo, Washington at Cincinnati. When you look at the 12 o'clock central time, so 1 o'clock games, 1 o'clock games, you have 7 of them. Giants at Browns, Packers at Titans, Bears at Colts, Texans at Vikings, Eagles at Saints, Chargers at Steelers, Broncos at Bucks. I mean, maybe 2 of those games are respectable. Like, if Minnesota's good, Houston at Minnesota's interesting, and then, like, the Chargers at the Steelers, maybe. You know, the Eagles at the Saints, if you squint, maybe. It's, like, who wants to watch this? I mean, who's excited? Like, nobody's sitting down and going, man, these are great games here. Like, maybe you get lucky with the Bears and the Colts. It's like Richardson against Williams or something. But it's an AFC versus NFC game. There's not a ton on the line. That's the problem that I have with the way this is going. And by the way, just to prove a point, like, if you go to the following week, there's another doubleheader Monday night, Tennessee and Miami, Seattle and Detroit. The Thursday night game is Dallas and New York. The Sunday night game is Buffalo and Baltimore. So, like, your 12 o'clock slate, Saints-Falcons, Rams-Bears, Vikings-Packers, Colts-Steelers, Broncos-Jets, Eagles-Bucks, Bengals-Panthers, Jacksonville-Houston. Like, it's not awful. Like, there are a handful of games in there. They're like, okay, pretty good games. But, like, if I'm CBS and Fox, I'm like, hey, guys, can we have like a couple of games in here that include the big heavy hitters? You know, the Cowboys, who are a big draw all the time, and Kansas City. And Kansas City has, I believe, it's 3 noon kicks the entire year. Last year, they had 1. So it's like, if you're one of these you know, CBS or Fox executives, yeah, you're happy you're getting them in the 325, 425 slot. But like, you know, yeah, nobody's watching, you know, Colts, Jags at 1. Like, it's not enticing anybody. I do think that becomes a problem at some point for the league.
Yeah, you know, if you want to find out what the league feels about you, if you're entertaining or not, if your schedule says a lot of 1 p.m. East Coast time, that means you stink. You're expected to be boring. But shout out to those teams, Matt, because when we were typing out the schedule, I was tasked with doing the times, like the Colts and the Titans and the Jaguars and the Vikings, a lot of 1 p.m. games, so copy-paste, 1 p.m. But you could tell, that tells you, yeah, they don't have a lot of primetime action. Like the Chiefs one was difficult, the Cowboys, 49ers, but... Matt, the other thing we're maybe overlooking is like people are going to care because of gambling and fantasy football. So that always gives you something to watch there. There's times, like you mentioned, what is it, Titans, Jaguars? Well, maybe you have, you know, Trevor Lawrence on your team.
Yeah, Tony Pollard.
Guys like that. By the way, I'm surprised that the Colts didn't get much love. I thought they were a little entertaining, but I get it. Not a lot of star power. But that's the thing. Like you're going to be driven to the individual players and your bets because of fantasy football and gambling.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, it's the NFL. People are going to watch, but I think at some point you start to piss off some of your bigger partners because the games just are so spread out all over the place. Now, if you're the NFL, you're going, hey, you know what? You're still going to pay for them because we're king. I mean, and if you're an advertiser, where would you rather put your commercial dollars, right? I mean, if you're targeting just about any demographic in the United States, the NFL is a pretty good place to hit, and it's live TV. It's live sports. Look, that being said, let's pivot here. Did anything stand out to you, like, or what did stand out to you when you were looking at the schedules? Was it a team? Was it a, you know, a primetime game, a game you're really excited for? Like, what stood out to you when you saw the unveiling of the schedule?
Honestly, the quirk is the Thursday night games. A lot of teams got, I want to say a couple teams got 3 Thursday night games. A good amount of teams got 2 Thursday night games. A lot of teams did not get any. So, remember last year, the whole thing about we're going to flex them in on Thursdays. I don't think that ever happened. Now it's like, you're going to be forced. There's no flex about it. You're going to be getting 2 or 3 games. So
right.
That to me, you know, we'll see. I know the Prime Video people, which by the way, they hate to be called Amazon Prime Video. They keep saying it's Prime Video because they spend so much money on the product. And now they're trying to make sure they're going to be some good games. But the problem is, you know, Aaron Rodgers got hurt last year. You can't really predict it. But now they're going out of the way to somehow protect it by getting really good teams to go on twice. And I don't know how teams feel about that, but I'm guessing they can't like it much.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you. So I've got it pulled up in front of me here. Just a quick glance shows me the Jets play week 3 and week 9. The Rams play Thursday night, week 8, week 15. The Seahawks play week 6, week 17. So, I mean, you've got a handful of teams in here, and maybe I'm even missing one. I'm just trying to look and see.
49ers.
The Niners, yep. Yeah, week 6, week 15.
Maybe Ravens. Do you count that first opening night game? That's not Prime Video, but it's a Thursday.
They don't count that technically as Thursday night football, but yeah, they play week 1, week 10. The Chiefs do not play a Thursday night game, which is interesting. They play Friday. They play the openers on a Thursday, of course, but again, that's not technically Thursday night football. Yeah. And then they play the Black Friday game on Prime, so they kind of fulfill the requirement. But yeah, I mean, I will say this, the Thursday night slate forever, we've always laughed at it because it's always these ridiculous games. Like for years, it was just color rush games where it looked just impossible to even fathom how they came up with these uniforms. Most of these games this year are actually pretty good. You know, first one, Bills, Dolphins, good game. Pats, Jets, all right, it's Pats, you know, but maybe Drake made someone interesting. For the most part, like you got some pretty good games: Vikings, Rams, Texans, Jets, Bengals, Ravens, Steelers, Browns, Rams, Niners late in the year. That's a good game. Bengals, Browns could mean something in week 16. Packers, Lions. So like there are a lot of divisional games. I think it's a pretty good slate. And then you know if you look at the Sunday night games, look, the Sunday night games are usually the marquee games of the week, and I think they pretty much nailed it again this year. You know, you start out with Rams-Lions, which is a rematch of the NFC wildcard game. You know, you have Cowboys-Steelers week 5. You have Chiefs-Falcons week 3. Bills-Ravens week 4. Week 13, you have Bills and Niners. You know, you have a lot of a lot of good games. Eagles at Rams. I was surprised that, you know, I thought Jacksonville would get a little more love just because of Trevor Lawrence. They only have one game on Sunday Night Football. It's Week 9. It's at Philly. They do have a Monday night game as well, but only one. It's Week 3. It's on the road in Buffalo. So Jacksonville is getting a little bit of the shaft. The one thing I want to mention, and maybe you've seen this, Gil, maybe you haven't, I'm not sure. Have you seen the back end of Pittsburgh's schedule?
I have not. Is it pretty difficult?
I would argue it is the toughest 8-game stretch I've ever seen on an NFL schedule. I mean, so they get the bye week, Week 9. They come out and they play at Washington. Their last 8 games in order: home to Baltimore, Thursday nighter at Cleveland, at Cincinnati, home to Cleveland, at Philadelphia, Saturday at Baltimore, 4 days later on Christmas, home to the Chiefs, Cincinnati. The last 8 games, they play 3 games on short rest. They play, and by the way, those short rest games are against the Browns on the road, the Ravens on the road, and the Chiefs. They play at Philly and all 6 divisional games in that 8-week stretch. I mean, that's insane. I kept looking at it. I'm like, am I reading this right? Now they, before the Christmas Day game, which of course they're playing on 4 days rest, 4 road games in 5 weeks. I mean, that is about as brutal a schedule as you can get. And like, their early slate is obviously easier. Even that's not easy. 3 of their first 4 games are on the road. They had Dallas at home Week 5. They got the Jets at home Week 7. Both those are Sunday night games. They got to go cross country to Denver. They got to go cross country to Vegas. I mean, I got Pittsburgh. If Tomlin gets them to the playoffs, they're going to earn it, because that is a gauntlet. I mean, there's a world those last 8 games, they go like 2-6 and they don't even play that poorly. It's very, very tough sledding.
I got to check out your story then, AFC predictions, because I'm now curious how those Steelers did for those wins and losses there.
I mean, I think I have them near 500, I believe. But I mean, I think they're going to rack up most of their wins early in the year. Like, it's going to be, you know, because the hard thing is, you know, is like when you get late in the year, those really good teams, they're putting the hammer down. At that point, they're trying to clinch divisions and clinch seeding. Like, they're, you know, you catch one of those good teams in like Week 3, there's a little bit of, okay, hey, look, we're trying some stuff. We're trying to find ourselves. We're working guys in. You get Baltimore Week 15. Like, Baltimore is not screwing around that. You know, you get the Chiefs Week 17. I mean, that might be for the one seed. Like, they might be like, hey, look, we're going to win this game at all costs because we want to rest.
Yeah. I mean, who's the quarterback at that point, too? Is it Justin Fields or Russell Wilson? That's the other problem, too. Like, how's that roster going to be with a quarterback?
I'll tell you, Russell Wilson's going to be feeling it by about Week 15. I mean, you got short rest to Cleveland, short rest to Baltimore, short rest against Kansas City. I mean, that is going to be, I mean, you're talking, those are the three, last year, those are the 3 best defenses in football. And you're getting all 3 of those teams on a short week in the back half of the schedule. That is going to be a challenge, man. That is rough.
Yeah, split the quarterbacks maybe. Justin Fields, who they're maybe considering moving him to special teams, which I don't know if that's a real accurate report, but Justin Fields and Russell Wilson maybe have a little combo there. But yeah, and that's the thing too. It reminds me, I think, the conversation that went viral between C.J. Stroud and Michael Parsons.
Yep.
Which division is the toughest of the NFL? C.J. went AFC North, and that's right there. That tells you, when you play the back end of your schedule with a bunch of AFC North teams, it's going to be difficult.
The other thing I wanted to chat about with you is the Jets schedule. I got to tell you, and Connor wrote about this, mm-hmm. by the way, people should check out his piece. If you don't like watching the Jets, you might want to move out of the country, because the Jets, I mean, Week 1, Monday Night Football at San Francisco, come back from across the country, short week at Tennessee, that's just a 1 o'clock game, a Thursday nighter against New England. Then they come home, or they stay home. The New England game's at home as well. They play Denver. Okay, fine. 1 o'clock game. Then they go to England, play Minnesota. That technically, by the way, a home game for the Jets. Then they play Buffalo, which is a Monday nighter also at MetLife. And then they have the Steelers on a Sunday night on the road at Heinz Field. A 1 o'clock game on the road against New England at Foxborough. a Thursday night game on Prime against Houston on Halloween, a 425 game at Arizona, and then a Sunday night game against the Colts. So if you're keeping score, that is the first 11 weeks and they finally get a bye week. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of their first 11 games are standalone games. They better hope Aaron Rodgers is healthy and good, because if he's not, oh my God.
I was going to say, that's a big gamble you're taking after what happened last year. What, a few plays in, he's out, and they have to keep putting Zach Wilson in prime time, and when everybody hated it. So I know he beat the Eagles that one game, but, you know, yeah, to do it again against with a 40-year-old, you know, quarter, or 41, I forget what age he is.
He'll be 41 this season, yeah.
I get they did, you know, improve the offensive line. They added some pieces, and maybe they're expecting better for 2.0 Aaron Rodgers, but it's a big gamble.
That is, and by the way, the Minnesota games count as a road game, but regardless, it's in England, so I mean, whatever in terms of the scheduling. That's just unbelievable. I mean, and by the way, like, you're getting some traveling in, you're going all the way to San Francisco, coming back, short week, down to Tennessee, coming back, then 2 weeks later, you're going to England, coming all the way back. I mean, and then there's Arizona week 10, you got to travel there. And the Jets, it's just, like, my thing with the NFL is everybody really that hyped to see the Jets? Like, I don't know one human being in my life who's like, you know what I need? More Aaron Rodgers. That's what I need. Like, yeah, they should sit down with him and just do like a TED talk with him for like 20 minutes before the game. So let him give his thoughts on everything and anything. Like, what? Who's asking for this?
Yeah, they had their moment last year, and it didn't work out. Like, I think we've all moved on, but, you know, I don't get anybody saying, you know what, I've been so eager to get this Aaron Rodgers Jet season that I'm so excited for these 7-8 primetime games, whatever the heck it is.
Yeah, 11 weeks.
I don't know. It's kind of maybe a lazy approach from the NFL. Like, they do favor a lot of star quarterbacks, but, like, Aaron Rodgers, he's older. Let some of these other young quarterbacks get a little more love in primetime.
We don't even know if he's good. Like, yeah. He wasn't good as
on that team, too.
I mean, so now Mike North, who is the NFL's vice president of broadcast partners, had a video conference with reporters, and this is per Rich Cimini over at ESPN. This is an all-timer of a quote. So Cimini leads in by just writing, "The New York Jets landed a record number of primetime games over the first 3 months of the 2024 season because of the appeal of four-time MVP Aaron Rodgers was too great to ignore," the NFL acknowledged Thursday. Quote, "Yes, it's an awful lot of primetime games early in the season, but obviously I feel the Jets kind of owe us one," end quote. What? Like, are you kidding me?
And then
he has another quote here a little bit further down the story. Quote, "When we had this conversation a year ago, we were, all of us, all in on the Jets, and for that guy to last four plays was disheartening for many of us. I feel like we could run it back, and certainly our broadcast partners, and they came to us early in the process talking about what storylines they want to focus on early in the season. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers' return was a key one for everybody." I mean, look, man, like, that's not a great way to word this entire thing. Like, they owed you one,
yeah,
and the broadcast partners want Aaron Rodgers. Okay, I understand that part of it. I get it. The Jets owe you one? And I love it. He's like, that guy lasted four plays. Then he screwed us. Okay,
Weren't they on Hard Knocks? Like, they had a whole reality TV show for you guys.
Like, Jets get one.
Yeah, like it didn't work out.
By the way, I also, speaking of Hard Knocks, I love that Hard Knocks is doing the Giants off-season Hard Knocks. Who the hell is watching this?
I was going to say, did it take place already in February through May and it's
like,
over with?
I was like, there's just a camera on Joe Shane when he found out Saquon was going to Philly. Like, what? You know, and like when he found out that Daniel Jones is still under contract.
Yeah, when the Patriots said no to the trade offer for Drake May, like, okay.
What are we doing? I love football. I am the biggest football junkie, I think, imaginable. And yet, I wouldn't watch this if they paid me. In fact, we are paid. I still wouldn't watch this. Like, there's no way in hell I would sit there and watch this nonsense. So, I mean, this is one thing with the NFL. Like, to go full circle what we were talking about at the beginning. Who the hell is asking for this? Like, at some point here, you have it great. It's great. Stop jamming all kinds of crap into every single nook and cranny of the calendar. Hey, what about this? What about that? Like, I don't care if they go 18 games because, like, what the hell? I'll take an extra week of NFL football. That's fine. But, like, the Giants Hard Knocks offseason? You kidding me? The Giants shouldn't watch that. It's incredible. You've got the Rangers in the playoffs, the Knicks in the playoffs. I'm sure New Yorkers just can't wait for Giants offseason training camp, Hard Knocks, whatever. You know, maybe get a little OTA action in there. Yeah, some guy running around in shorts.
A lot of footage of people with no pads on and nobody hitting each other. So
yes,
yeah, they're pushing it. I was okay with maybe with the during the season Hard Knocks. Like,
worth
okay,
a try.
I'm too busy to care and watch. Just too many football games going on. And okay, maybe off season. Actually, I don't really care. So yeah,
it's ridiculous. Who the hell is watching this crap? I mean, at some point, we have hit a juncture of like, come on. I mean, we've seen enough. Hard Knocks, I would argue, has kind of outlasted its usefulness anyway, for the most part. Like most years, I feel like it's just the same thing every year. You know, how many times can I get sucked in watching some guy who's trying to make the 53-man roster? And they're like, yeah, listen, bring your playbook because you're the ninth receiver on the roster. And, you know, maybe it's because we cover the league and, like, you understand how all this stuff works. And I'm watching, I'm like, I was just at that team's camp. Like, that guy was getting, like, 16 reps here. He's not making the roster. And then you turn on HBO Hard Knocks and, like, so-and-so is making a late push. Like, no, he's not. He's making a late push right off the unemployment line. Like that's where he's headed.
They even cut back on those type of like films where like you get a player comes in and gets cut. Like, oh, we don't want to show that. So what else can you really show? So I don't know.
Yeah, it's just it is what it is. But I am to the point where I think we have we've maybe gone a step too far. I think we've gone a step too far. Let's circle back here real quick. I'm not going to even bother talking about the preseason because you've got to be a serial killer to be excited about the preseason. Week one, give you a second, pull up the schedule week one. I'll lead off here to give you some time. I want to talk about the best game, or the game you're most excited about. So leading off with Baltimore, Kansas City, and Green Bay at Philly and Brazil on Friday night. And then you've got a whole slate Sunday, and the Monday night game is Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. Out playing the NFC champs in San Francisco. The Sunday night game is the Rams and the Lions in that aforementioned NFC rematch. NFC playoff wildcard game rematch, excuse me. I'm going to stay on Sunday for the game I'm most excited for because I think the best game is probably the first game, which is Baltimore-Kansas City. But I think the game that I'm most excited for on Sunday, I think it's got to be the Rams and the Lions in the Sunday night window. I'm fascinated by the Lions this year. You were a half away from going to the Super Bowl for the first time in franchise history. And let's call it what it is. Like, you should have gone. You should have gone. I think they're even a better team this year. You know, they drafted Rake Straw and Arnold to fortify the secondary. Didn't lose any big piece. They brought in Carlton Davis in a trade from the – like, they should be a much better team defensively now for Aaron Glenn, the coordinator there. You know they've got the pass rush with Hutchinson up front. And I'm curious with the Rams. Like, Aaron Donald's gone. You know, what does that defense look like? You know they have offensive playmakers, but what do they look like defensively? What game are you most tuned into week one?
Yeah, you know, that would have been one of my top choices. Obviously, a lot of these primetime games get a lot of love. But, you know, before I give you one from the Sunday slate, I think maybe that Brazil game, you know, Packers sure. and Eagles yeah. be very entertaining. Like, you know, if you check out my NFC prediction stories at SI.com, I'm not as high as the Packers as I was last year. You know, maybe it could be maybe a little regression there from Jordan Love. But we'll find out early if I'm right or wrong, you know. Or what about the Eagles? They also, like the Lions, retooled the secondary there, you know, hitting on Quinion Mitchell and Cooper DeJean, you know, getting Bryce Huff too for the front side. That Brazil game, I'm just the atmosphere, like, you know, Matt, like, you know, when the NFL went to Mexico, I covered a couple of games in Mexico. I think it was Chiefs, Chargers, and Raiders, Patriots, and they all say, hey, Mexico City's excited for the NFL, and I walk around the city, and like, nobody really cares. It's like, you go to the game, and you're excited for that the day of the game, but it's not like a wild environment. So I'm curious to see how Brazil takes it. You know, is it just for the day of the game, or do people actually love football out there? But that's going to be a very entertaining game. Obviously, you got the Ravens and the Chiefs, but you know, just to kind of give you one, you know, maybe, you know, a divisional game. I kind of want to see the Colts and the Texans. Yeah, the Colts aren't that sexy, but the Texans, it's interesting because Danielle Hunter, you know, you added, you know, Joe Mixon, Stephon Diggs. So you get to see the new look Houston Texans. And a lot of times, Matt, like, you know, when you bring a lot of star power for a team, it's a lot of old star power. A lot of guys are in the back end of their prime, are no longer in their prime. And then you see like that graphic they do on social media. Look at CJ Stroud and all his weapons. I'm like, yeah, it's a good roster in 2019 or 2020. Or maybe I'm being a little harsh and I want to see what they do with these older guys with a stud and CJ Stroud. And then the Colts, man, the way they went down last year on that fourth down, it was a good play, I thought, from Shane Steichen. It just wasn't executed properly. And he dropped it. And then you have Anthony Richardson, who didn't really play much, who was very entertaining for four games. He just couldn't stay healthy. So I just, you would have asked me 2 years ago or even last year to be excited for Texans Colts. I wouldn't believed you. But with two quarterbacks, very intriguing.
It's an interesting game. I'll give you another one in the AFC that I think is interesting. It's a little under the radar. Is the Dolphins and the Jaguars. And that game is in Miami. I think it's a really interesting game because Jacksonville fell apart down the stretch last year. They were 8-3. Part of it was injuries, but part of it, let's just call it what it was. I mean, they couldn't stop anybody. They couldn't play pass defense. And this is going to test their pass defense because, you know, Miami, they're going to throw the ball quite a bit. And if you can't stick near Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, you got a problem. I am very curious in this game. New defensive coordinator. Jacksonville went out, kind of revamped that defense a little bit. What does that look like? Is Jacksonville back to being... Because this time last year, we were all sitting here talking about Jacksonville being maybe like an up-and-coming contender. And everybody in the world thought they were going to win that division going away. They didn't make the playoffs. What is Jacksonville? And then the other side of it, I think, is a fair question too. Like, what is Miami? You know, Miami last year had, early in the year, they're scoring like crazy, 70 points against Denver. Tyreek Hill, 2,000-yard pace, all this stuff. And by the end of the year, you're looking at them going, yeah, okay, they're fun. And they can light you up every once in a while. But against good teams, they're not good. And there's not a whole lot to be excited about in terms of like actual being like a contender status. Tua has not gotten an extension. He is still sitting there waiting for that money. Jared Goff got his extension. You know, but Tua's sitting there. The Dolphins looks like they're going to make Tua play this thing out. And if they do, like, can you go out and prove that you deserve the money? I mean, I would argue this year, if you're Tua, hey, man, go in the division. You guys had it on your racket last year and couldn't do it. And granted, some of it injury, but some of it was just down the stretch not playing particularly well. The Bills are not as good as they were a year ago. They lost a lot of guys. The Jets are better on paper. They're also relying on like 9 guys who are 50 not to get hurt. And the Patriots are in a rebuild. Like, if you're Miami, if you're Tua, like, this better be the year you get over the hump and you win that division and you have a home playoff game and you win that home playoff game because it's not going to be 20 degrees under, you know, below zero in Miami like it was in Kansas City. I am very curious to see. I feel like whoever loses that game, even though it's 1 week and it's not a big, like, there's going to be a lot of pressure on the team right away. Like, oh, they're 0-1. Like, they didn't finish well last year. Now they're 0-1 again. They could have won. I'm curious to see how that shakes out.
Let me give you one bad game that I'm actually looking forward to watching just for selfish reasons. And, you know, I'm getting a lot of heat on social media for my Vikings prediction. I'll say I picked them 3-14. It's really bad, you know, just as bad as the Carolina Panthers. And they're not happy with me right now. So, and the way I kind of determine, like, who's going to be better is, like, if the Vikings could beat the Giants, you know, in week one. And I'm like, well, you're going to have Sam Darnold. You're going to have J.J. McCarthy. Like, these quarterbacks ready with a new offense. Like, I'll give the nod to the experienced team, you know, with I know it's Daniel Jones, but he's been around. He knows Brian Daboll. Maybe Malik Nevers does something. So I favored the Giants in that game. And that's why there was kind of a free fall for the Vikings. And, okay, then I started seeing a bunch of games like, yeah, I don't see them beating this team and that team. So if they come out and they look good with whoever the quarterback is, J.J. McCarthy or Sam Darnold, and they crush the Giants, and I'll definitely eat my words, whatever. But somebody, I had to pick a couple teams to do poorly, and it had to be, you know, the Giants are another team, the Panthers, and the Vikings. So I can't pick every team to win 10 games, so that's part of it.
Yeah, you know what, that's it, right? I mean, that's the hard part right now. Everybody thinks their team is going to find a way to win 10-plus games. Everybody. everybody I know, like, hey, you know what? If this breaks this way and this breaks that way, and all five of these guys are really good, and our draft class is great, and then this happens, and that happens, and the moon lines up, and we have another eclipse. And then they read, like, your piece on the NFC or my piece on the AFC, and they're like, you don't understand the greatness of Bo Nix. It's like, you're right, I don't. You're right. You're right. Yeah, look, I mean, somebody's got to underwhelm. That's the one beauty about the NFL. There's always two or three teams every year. You're like, that team's going to be really good. Then they're just not. And the flip side of that's true, where you'll look at two or three teams, like, that team's not any good. And all of a sudden, you're like, man, that team, how are they, you know, really? They're going to win 11 games or 10 games or whatever it is. Like for me last year, I thought the Rams were going to be a pretty ho-hum team. I didn't think they'd win three games. But I thought they'd be like, you know, 7-10, something like that. They made the playoffs. And I ended up, I picked them, I think, to beat the Lions. I really liked them by the end of the year. I thought they showed a lot. You know, but then there are other teams you looked at. Like, I was one of those people. I didn't think Jacksonville was going to win the Super Bowl, but I thought Jacksonville would win the division, be in the divisional round, play well. No, didn't happen. You know, a lot of people thought the Steelers would be a real threat last year. Oh, Kenny Pickett second year? No. Turns out, no, he's Kenny Pickett. So, it happens. Then you have a team like the Bengals who, just because of injuries.
Yeah.
You know, Burrow gets hurt, and you go from being a Super Bowl contender to a team that finishes last in the division. So, you know, that, you know, the Jets, another team like that. So, I mean, that's where, you know, the NFL is a weird beast, man. You never know, you know, who's going to rise up and who's going to surprise you and win seven when you think they're going to win 12.
To give you one more, we had, and I guess my part was picking the Seahawks and against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, and the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. So we got that right. I'm going to take credit that you, that you team that you chose, Matt, but the Seahawks did not make the playoffs. So there you go.
I thought Seahawks would be better. So I didn't think they wouldn't make Super Bowl, but I was with you. I thought they'd be good. But like, then you have a team like Philly, who looked like they were going to win the Super Bowl halfway through the year. And by the end of it, my God, they went out with a whimper. They couldn't even compete in the wild card round. It's just, you know, it's just the way it is, man. It's a weird league. You know, with every other sport, on North American sport, you have either 82 games or 162 games. Like, it's such a massive sample size. In the NFL, you know, you get off to a good start, like maybe a couple breaks go your way, and you face some team that's a little injury riddled. All of a sudden, you're sitting there and you're like, man, we're going to the playoffs. You know, and that, now, especially with the way that they've expanded the playoff field to seven teams in each conference, like, I think it's the NFL is almost like the NCAA tournament in the respect that you can get a team that goes on a Cinderella run, and you're like, man, I can't believe that team made the playoffs. But just like in the NCAA tournament, most times, in the end, it's still Duke and it's North Carolina and it's all these blue, you know, Kentucky and UCLA. Like, it's the blue bloods at the end kind of sitting there. It's just what happens in the NFL. You get the, you know, Championship Sunday and it's the 49ers and the Chiefs and, you know, it's the teams you expect to be there. But along the way, you get all those surprises. I think that's what makes the sport so much fun.
Yeah, and look at last year, the Bengals and the Jets. We all thought they're going to win 10, 11 games, and they did not because of injuries. You never know.
All right. Any final thought on the schedule, what you're looking at, what you're seeing, anything moving forward, any stories you want to plug, sir?
You know, in terms of the schedule, you know, it kind of feels like, okay, we're done with the offseason. You got the free agency, you got the draft, and then you get the schedule, and, I forget how important the schedule order is because it could really make or break your season. So when we're doing these grades after free agency and the draft, like we're all waiting for the draft. I was like, oh, okay, that's pretty much it. And then you see, then I started sitting down doing the picks week by week. I'm like, oh crap, there's actually a gauntlet here. It's going to be very difficult. I know they got better in the offseason, but I don't see them beating this team and during this week, and that team's coming off a bye week, and that team this and that. But that's kind of the last hurdle, I feel like, of kind of getting through this offseason here. Stay tuned for the Giants offseason on Hard Knocks, by the way, because we're all done with that.
And then it's Rashid. Yeah.
Be ready. So that's probably the final thing. And then to plug a story, you know, I'm going to interview a couple of rookies out here in Los Angeles for the rookie premiere. I did it last year when I spoke to CJ Stroud and Bryce Young. It looks like I'm going to get a good amount of wide receivers that went in the first round to talk to them. So it was a cool event to see how they do. I remember last year, CJ and Bryce talked to me after they spoke to Tom Brady. I'm like, oh, what a drop off. You go from Tom Brady to talking to me. So, okay, whatever. I'll make this quick here. So to do it again, it's going to be pretty cool. And check out I think those more Q&A style stories will come out next week.
Awesome. Check that out for sure. We'll have our series that we do, I think annually here, second annual, we'll have our 32 teams in 32 days, which starts I believe, what, June? Early June?
Yeah.
Where Gilberto and I will be trading off. We'll be writing 16 stories apiece where we'll be going kind of in-depth, previewing each team. And then I think I'll be making a few trips during OTAs. Probably go to Bears camp, Packers camp. Maybe try to swing out to Kansas City. Just, you know, write some one-off stories. Just checking in with some of those teams. Obviously, a lot of intrigue with the Bears right now. The Packers trying to make a run. Then the Chiefs trying to do something nobody's ever done with the three-peat. So, you know, keep tabs on SI.com for all of Gilberto's great work. Of course, Connor Ward and Albert Breers as well. And then, you know, my work's there. So if you have nothing else to read, you can check that out too. Hey, listen, thank you, everybody, for hanging out with us, supporting us. We are back in action, and we will have plenty of content for you to keep you going through the OTAs and mini camp, all the rest of it right in the training camp. We start our tour. But for Gilberto Manzano, I'm Matt Verderam. This is the MMQB Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be talking to you again real soon.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.